You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, my friends. How are you today? It's so good to see all your beautiful faces here this morning, and I'm so excited to come around the Word with you this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Rachel preached a powerful message on God's positioning for us. And last week, Pastor Lee encouraged us that each and every step we take on the journey, that God is with us and He's leading and guiding us. And today, as we lead into the summit, I want to share with you that as we follow God's positioning, as we allow Him to lead and guide us, we can expect Him to move. We can have an expectation that God will move in our lives. And, you know, I had this picture that, like a barometer that measures pressure, that maybe the needle of your expectation is about here, but through this message, through this week, as we go through our weeks, that barometer, that needle will start to increase in pressure, that your expectancy will rise, your expectation that, hey, God, I want you to move in my life will rise. So would you join me in prayer, church? Lord God, I just thank you that you are the God of all things. I thank you that you are a good and faithful God. And Lord, as I speak this morning, I pray that you will speak to each of our hearts, that you will cause expectation to rise, because you are a mighty God. You are a God who moves. You are a God who is powerful, and you are a God who saves. So we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I have a question for you guys this morning. Love to start with a good question. Who here likes a challenge? Like if someone would set a challenge and say, let's try not to eat junk food for a month, you're like, let's set a challenge. Or if you said, let's try and go get 8 hours of sleep every night. Who here likes a challenge? Yeah. Some people are actually, who is kind of like you're hesitant towards a challenge and you're like, but if someone convinces you, yeah, I was thinking of Ozzy and maybe Rachel as well. If someone convinces you to do a challenge, at first you're like, but then as they convince you, you'll be like, oh yeah, I'll take that challenge. Anyone here like that? You're hesitant, but then you commit into it. Yep, Christoph's a bit like that. Trent's a bit like that. Is anyone here like, you can keep your challenge? Thank you very much. No, thank you. You might use more colourful language than that, but that's the general gist that you have. Anyone here like that? No deal to challenges? Look, I'd have to say I'm in that first group of people. I love a good challenge. At the moment, our gym has got this challenge that's called Never Miss a Monday, and it's try not to miss a session on a Monday. The person who lasts the longest wins a prize. Now, I like that because it creates an expectation on me. So on a cold winter's morning, particularly at the morning, when you're not feeling like going to the gym, you're like, there's a challenge, never miss a Monday. It puts an expectation on me to act. See, we can have expectations in life for a lot of things, but can I encourage you, the title of my message this morning is expect God to move, that we can have an expectation on God. The word expectation means this: strong hopes or belief that something will happen, or strong hope or belief that someone will or behave or act. See, we can have expectations for a situation, that how the situation will turn out, the outcome. We can have expectations on others. This is how they should act. This is how this should happen. We can have expectations on ourselves. I can do this. I can't do this. Others can have expectations on us. This is what they should be doing. You know, the challenge at the gym puts an expectation on me to act. See, expectations can be good and helpful. They keep us accountable. If I think about the road rules or traffic lights, when you see a red light, what are you supposed to do, or what's the expectation? That you stop. If you see a green light, what's the expectation? When you see a yellow light, now this is subject to interpretation depending on the person, you might say, you know, go faster so you don't get a red light, or prepare to stop. Now, anyone here just recently done their L's, who's got their L's or getting their L's? A few young people here. If I remember correctly, Vic Road's official statement is a yellow light means prepare to stop unless it's unsafe to do so. Is that a fair comment? So road rules create an expectation of how we should behave. It doesn't always translate into how we do behave, but it creates an expectation on us. So expectations can be good. They can also be unhelpful, you know, when they're not communicated or they're unrealistic or unreasonable. If I expect that this friend of mine should help me, regardless of drop everything to help me, because I think that's what I would do for them, that may be an uncommunicated, unrealistic expectation. See, in our limited human ability and what we can do in our human nature, expectations sometimes can be unmet. Expectations that are unmet can lead to disappointment or discouragement. But can I encourage you this morning that there is one that we can look to with our expectations? There is one that we follow that we can bring our expectations to, and that is God. That we can have a strong and confident belief that He will move in circumstances. We can put expectations on God. See, can I suggest another word for expectation is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and certainty in what we do not see. Psalm 27:14 says this, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect for the Lord. My friends, you and I can expect God to hear our prayers. You can expect God to answer your prayers. You can expect God to speak to us. Lisa, we had this conversation. You can expect God to speak to you. We can expect God to move in situations. 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What a confidence, what an expectation that we can have, that if we ask anything, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Can I encourage you, my friend, that we can come to God and expect Him to move in situations? God has a great track record of moving in power in the Bible. There are multiple accounts where people like you and I came to God with expectation, came to God to see an outcome, and He moved powerfully. Let me give you a few examples. David, when he spoke to Saul, he said, Saul, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, and God helped me defeat them. The same God who helped me with that lion and bear will help me defeat Goliath. He came with an expectation that God would help him again. If I think about the lame man at Gate Beautiful, Peter came to him and said, silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That he had an expectation that God would heal this man, so he spoke in faith to that person. If I think about the four friends who lowered the paralyzed man through the roof, they came with an expectation that God would heal him because it would be very difficult to pull the man back out the roof if he wasn't healed. They had an expectation that that friend would walk out of that place rather than being pulled out of the roof. There are so many accounts where God is moved in power. God has a good track record of meeting expectations. So let's look at a biblical account today where Jesus moved mightily, where a woman expected a miracle and God moved. This is the account of the woman with the issue of blood. It's found in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. It'll come up on the screen, but can I encourage you to follow along on your Bible app or in your Bible as well. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Verse 30, Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone from him. So he turned around the crowd and said and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. What an amazing miracle. What an amazing story that this woman who had suffered for over 12 years, in an instant, immediately her bleeding stopped. So let's look at this story. Let's unpack a little bit more and see how it applies to us today. In verse 26, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had tried everything. She had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. See, this woman had been unwell for 12 years, and she spent all she had trying to get better. She had tried to work it out herself. You know, how does this relate to us today? Sometimes this can be us. We try to work things out ourselves. We place expectations on ourselves or others to see an outcome. Now, can I encourage you again here, my cut, that a healthy level of expectation is helpful. It's good. It causes us to act. You know, if I think about if you're sick or if you're unwell physically or mentally, you should see a health professional. If you've got a sore tooth, you might see a dentist. You know, if you're needing financial advice, you might see a financial planner. If you're needing tutoring with your schoolwork, you might go and see a tutor. It is an expectation on yourself, other people to see an outcome is important. But can I encourage you, maybe there's times that we are too self-reliant. We try and work things all on our own. Or there's times maybe we look to others, family members, friends, spouses, to meet an expectation that only God can. Perhaps it's time to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your power to work in my life. Just as this woman came to Jesus, Jesus, I need your power to work in my life, in my work situation, in my studies, in my personal growth, in my family, in my spouse, in my children, in my siblings, in my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, in this situation I'm facing. Jesus, I need your power to work in my life. Can I encourage you that you can position yourself, as Tim said in the announcement, that we can position ourselves to meet with God and expect Him to move powerfully in our lives. And you know, let's be real that sometimes this can seem countercultural. This can seem different to what society would expect. Have you ever heard the term managing your expectations? Or have you heard the phrase, I know I have, keep your expectations low or don't expect much and you won't be disappointed. You know, this woman had good reason to follow this. She'd seen lots of people, she tried lots of solutions and had no outcome. It was reasonable for her to keep her expectations low. Her expectations had gone unmet. You know, in many things in life, our expectation, our reality can be quite different. Has anyone here tried to make a cake and you follow a picture? You know, your expectation is it looks like, oh, a little, is it a porcupine? A porcupine? But the reality is, what is that? What does it look like? That would be what it looked like if I tried to make a cake. The expectation, the reality can be quite different. Or perhaps your expectation is, you know, you've had a big day, you haven't eaten at all, and you're like, I'm going to get some takeaway on the way home. I'm going to get some drive-through. And you're like, I'm so hungry, I'm going to get a burger. And your expectation is you'll get this beautiful burger. And the reality is that's what happens. You get a not-so-beautiful burger. You know, in life, a lot of things, our expectation can differ from the reality. For this woman, this was the case. There was a mismatch between what she was expecting to happen, to become better. But the reality was that she was still having this bleeding issue. She had good reason to lower her expectation, but she'd heard about Jesus. That's what it says. She'd heard about Jesus in verse 27, and she came to Jesus with an expectation. Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Then in verse 28, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Not perhaps I might be healed, maybe something will happen, but if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. See, this passage doesn't say this specifically, but Bible commentary suggests she may have thought that the only way she could be healed was through touching Jesus. Because of her biblical context of that day is she was unclean because of her bleeding issue. So she couldn't be in contact with society. She couldn't be in contact with anyone. But she thought, if I can just touch his robe. Jesus up till that point hadn't healed anyone through contact with clothing. So how did she know this would happen? The commentary suggests that she was like, do you know what? This is the only way I can reach Jesus, but I'm going to try my only way to reach Jesus anyway. She came with an expectation that he would move. See, her current reality, the social reality of the day, that she couldn't come near Jesus because of her bleeding, didn't stop her from reaching out to Jesus. My friends, can I encourage you today? Don't let your current reality deter you from coming to Jesus and expecting him to move. Don't let your current reality deter you from coming to Jesus. You know, reality is reality. We don't ignore reality, but we can be aware of it. And we can yet choose to jump to Jesus and say, hey, God, I need you to move in my circumstance. I need to see this shift. Yes, I see the reality of it. It's not like I've suddenly got amnesia and forgotten that it's there, but I need you to move in this situation. I need you to bring a breakthrough in this situation. If I can just touch his robe, if I can just position myself and expect you to move, I will be healed. See, this wasn't positive thinking. This wasn't her manifesting her thoughts so she could see reality come to pass. She had heard about Jesus. That's what it says in verse 27. Multiple accounts in the chapters earlier in Mark, we see healings that Jesus had performed. She had heard about Jesus. Her belief, her expectation was based on the truth of who Jesus was. And that's the same for us today. We can expect God to move because of the truth of who he is. It's not based on positive thinking, not based on us hoping, fingers crossed, based on the truth of who he is. another account, Jesus, after healing a man, says this in John 5:17, "My Father is always working, and so am I." We can expect God to move in our lives because God is always working. Jesus is always working. That is the assurance we can have. Let me encourage you from Isaiah 30, verse 18. "So the Lord is waiting to show his mercy to you. He wants to rise and comfort you." If you're needing his comfort, if you're needing his strength, he wants to rise and comfort you. "The Lord is the God who does the right thing, so he will bless everyone who waits for his help." Can I encourage you, my friends? We can expect God to work in our lives because that is who he is. That is his heart. I know this is something I'm still learning. I'm still learning to have an expectation because I've been conditioned to learn to manage my expectation. And this is something we had to learn recently when a few months ago, we received an exorbitantly high utility bill. Now, this happened prior to us moving in. So it's something that we knew we weren't responsible before. But the utility provider said to us, he was like, "Do you know what? More often than not, builders and trades don't take responsibilities for these things. So the client, us, end up having to pay it." And so Bevan and I, you know, we went to God and we're like, "God, we want to see a resolution to this situation." But if I'm completely honest, my expectation was low because of what the utility provider had said. I was like, "Oh, well, you know what? Like, my justice side was like, I want to go to VCAT and fight this thing." But like, the reality of it was, I was like, "It's not worth the stress, right? Let's just pay it in increments." And that's what I actually said. So we went to God in prayer, but my expectation was low. But do you know what I learned? It shouldn't have been. Because a couple of weeks ago, the builder rang and said, "Do you know what? One of the tradespeople reckons they know what happened, and they're going to take responsibility for paying the bill." Now, we are yet to see the outcome of that actually happen. But my expectations are raised now because my expectations were low, but God has already exceeded the expectation that what was expected to happen hasn't happened, and there's already going to be different outcome. So my expectations are higher to see a resolution, but not just for this, for other things in my life that I'm expecting for things in your life that I'm expect that you are expecting for, that God will move in power, because that is the truth of who he is. Thank you. I got a bit excited. I went a bit faster, didn't I, Timmy? Thank you very much. We can expect God to work in our lives because that is who he is. But why can we have this expectation? What gives us this assurance and confidence? Can I tell you, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. See, God in his great love sent Jesus to the earth. He lived a perfect life that qualified him to die on the cross for our sins, for the wrong things we had done. As we heard about from Pastor Carrie in communion, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection created a pathway for all of us to be restored to right relationship with God. For all of us, through faith in Jesus, to be able to boldly approach God, expecting him to move in our lives. This is what it says in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. "So then, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us boldly come to the throne of our gracious God." Let us boldly come to his throne. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Friends, let me encourage you. Jesus understands what you're going through. You know, there's people here who need to hear that this morning, that Jesus understands what you're going through. He went through all of it himself. Yet without the sin, he went through all of himself. But because of him, through faith in him, we can boldly come to God with an expectation that he will move in your life, in my life. And we see the woman experiencing this. As she expected Jesus to move, she experienced a miracle. Reading from verse 29. "Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of a terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone from him. So he turned around the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my robe?' His disciples said to him, 'Look at the crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?' But he kept on looking around to see who had done it." See, all around, imagine this, the crowds were pressing into Jesus. You know, I'm sure there's other people in that crowd who needed a breakthrough. There was other people in the crowd who needed a miracle. There are other people who probably touched him, but they didn't receive a healing. But Jesus felt a healing power specifically released from him when the woman touched him. So can I suggest that perhaps it wasn't so much the touch, but the faith and the expectation that she came with that resulted in the miracle. It wasn't the fact that she touched Jesus, because lots of other people touched Jesus, but she came with the faith and expectation that God would move in her life. Can I encourage you that we can come to Jesus expecting him to move in power in our lives? You know, across the room, I've heard testimonies here of people who have done this, who have seen God move in power in their life. Or I've been told of testimonies of people of God doing things in their life. You know, Lisa and I were talking a while back about how she had a thought of where Kyle's shoes that were missing were. And she said, God, I have this thought of where they are. If that's you, I know you're speaking to me. She had this expectation that God would be speaking to her. I think of Marianne, how she shared with me that God put in her heart to be an intercessor, to stand in the gap for someone else, say their healing. She was expecting God to move in their life. She was expectant for someone else to get a breakthrough because of the power of God. I think of Greg and Chrissy when they had a change in work situation for Greg. They were expectant that God would bring a resolution to the situation, and he did. He brought about a new opportunity of work. I look across the room and I see time and time again that we have been expectant for God to move in power. And can I encourage you, let's continue to do so. Can I encourage you to come expectant today? Can I encourage you to become expectant every day? Can I encourage you to come next weekend to the summit expectant for God to move? You know, not just to rock up and be like, I'm here, I've signed up, I've registered. You know, this is not a plug for me to go, hey, please register, please come. Because I'd love you to be there. That is the honest truth. But I don't want you to be there just for the sake of being there. I want you to be there to receive from God in power. See, because let's be honest, in our humanity, like, it'd be nicer, it'd be easier to have a Saturday off. Anyone can agree with that? Like, you know, it'd be nice, it'd be easier to just have a Saturday off. It takes time and effort for you to be there. But can I encourage you, don't just be there. Come positioned to receive from God. Come like this woman who was like, I'm not going to be part of the crowd. I'm going to actually reach out and position myself to expect God to move in my life. You know, we as a leadership are passionate about that, that we want to create a space where we can position ourselves, where we can meet with God and see him move in our life. And can I encourage you that God has a pretty good track record of moving powerfully in people's lives? You know, I've shared one full account, but I've shared a few other accounts. But again, as I look across the room, I've seen an amazing track record of how God has shared and done powerful things in our lives. You know, throughout the year, we've had testimonies from different people, from Joanne, from Vanessa, from Andy, from lots of different people of what God has been doing in their lives. And can I encourage you, he will do it again. He will continue to move powerfully in our life. You know, this woman received her physical healing instantaneously, but she also received so much more. In verse 33 and 34, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him, Jesus, and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. See, this woman, she could have just got a healing and sneakily walked away. But Jesus didn't stop there. She got her physical healing instantaneously, but Jesus restored her in that moment. Because remember, her bleeding issue made her unclean to everyone else. People might have known her as this labeled unclean lady. But Jesus publicly acknowledged that she had been made well. Jesus publicly said, hey, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. By doing that, he restores her to society. You know, where she'd been isolated, perhaps she couldn't go into places of worship. She couldn't socialize with anyone. Jesus calls out and says, you have been made well. He restores her in society. She came expecting a healing to be better from the bleeding, which she was. But Jesus did more. Jesus exceeded her expectations of what she came with. She came for a healing, but she saw restoration into a place in society. Jesus did immeasurably more in her life. Can I encourage you today, for us today, we can come to God expecting him to move powerfully in our lives. But can I encourage you, God will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. This is the promise in Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, and we can give him all glory for that. So can I ask you this morning, what area are you needing God to move powerfully in your life? And are you expectant for him to do so? Are you expecting him to move in that area? See, as I wrap up this morning, about 15 years ago, there was a young adults camp that Paradise Church ran when I was at uni in Adelaide. And I remember going to this camp, and I remember Pastor Renee Bennett speaking about Paul and the thorn in his side, and how that was a weakness that God gave him, but his strength, God's strength, was made perfect in his weakness. And you know, there was lots of things that happened that weekend, but I remember that message so clearly because God spoke to me so clearly about how, you know, his strength is made perfect in my weakness, that I'll always be a work in progress of becoming more like him. And there's areas I will always find that are a little bit of a struggle or that I have weakness in, but his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And you know, there's lots of things, like I said, happened that weekend, but can't remember 99% of what happened. I remember there was powerful things, but that one thing that God spoke to me through her message resonates with me still today, and I remind myself of it regularly. That one moment where I positioned myself to be there, I received from God. But to be honest, I didn't have much expectation, right? Everyone was signing up to go for it, so I went for it as well. But even though my expectations were low, God moved powerfully in my life. And that's a word that I remember today for my life 15 years later. So now I come to events with expectation. I come to these things with expectation that God will move in my life, but not just in my life, in your life, across the room. If you need a breakthrough, that Gene, God will move in your life, that you can be expectant that he will change situations in your life. James and Vanessa, that God will move powerfully in your life, that you can be expectant that he is bringing breakthrough in your situation, that we can have an expectation of God because that is who he is. So can I encourage you, don't let your current reality deter you from coming to God with expectation. He will do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. Come to him with expectation. So I ask you again, what area are you needing God to move powerfully in your life? Are you expectant for him to do so? Let's together be people that position ourselves to meet with him. To meet with him today at church, to meet with him in our personal devotion time, to meet with him at the summit. You know, let's be people that don't just turn up with the crowd, but we're deliberate, that we're reaching out to him and saying, I need you to move in my life. Would you come and move in my life? So let me pray for us this morning. Lord God, I just thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are working in our lives. And I just pray that you'll continue to raise our expectancy, that we will see you move powerfully in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, friends, if you're here today, and you don't know Jesus personally, perhaps you've heard about Jesus just like this woman had, and you know, you've heard of what he can do and who he is, but you don't know him personally. Can I encourage you that today you can come and acknowledge him and acknowledge that you need him in your life? See, as I said earlier, as we heard about in communion, that because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that we have access to come to God, to come boldly, to receive his grace, his mercy, and his help. As it said in that scripture in Hebrews 4, that we can come boldly to his throne of grace. This is because of Jesus. And through a prayer acknowledging that you need Jesus, asking him to forgive you for the things you've done wrong, and asking him to lead your life, you can boldly come to him each and every day. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, I'm not talking about a knowing about God or knowing about him or hearing about him. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus, of knowing him, of having the confidence that you can come boldly to him because of your relationship, your faith in Jesus. So in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer that the church will repeat after me. And if you want to be included in that prayer, can I ask you to repeat after me as well? If you're watching online, repeat this prayer after me as well. Church, would you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise again for my forgiveness. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I choose to turn to you and follow you. I need you in my life. I want to boldly come to you each day to receive your help. I declare with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I thank you because of that. I am saved. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.